Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the Book of Life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Joshua and David had their worries, had their troubles in their day. But they knew no harm could overcome them when they'd kneel right down and pray.
Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to
the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, November 2nd, 2020. It's Memorization Monday, so we're going to be looking at a verse together. It's a great one, one that I hope we can all take to heart and think about and put into action into our lives. There's a unique thing with Scripture. When you study it, when you think about it, there's always points of application or means or methods that God would use it in our lives. Sometimes it's maybe just healthy conviction that we need to work into an area. Oftentimes it could be it reveals a truth about God that we need to hold on to and cling to because it reveals the great character of God. It might just be a form of guiding or leading us. It's like where the Bible is the manual, the workbook that God has for us to learn how to live holy lives. Or it could be just that love letter, the affirmation that the verse helps us understand that God really loves us, even though we're flawed, that we can't earn his love. And so we're going to have a great verse to look at in just a minute. But we want you all to be mindful. If you don't know, tomorrow you can vote if you haven't early voted.
Oh, I bet most people know that.
I think you might not have not known that, but get out and vote.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah, your civic duty. It's a way to influence elections and put people in levels of leadership that can influence policy and such. So we hope you'll do your civic duty and remember to vote. And wow, we're already 2 days into November.
I know it.
Thanksgiving's around the corner.
It is.
And we'll be doing Christmas music the day after Thanksgiving. So,
and 2021's coming, everybody.
Yeah, everyone's can't wait for 2021.
She said plaintively.
Yeah.
Well, you said something interesting, Mark. You said, when you read the Bible, how can I cling to this scripture? Mm. I love that. That's really kind of powerful thing to ask oneself after you read a section. How can I cling to this?
Well, for some of our listeners, especially when we expanded and added 15 more stations into our network, if you will, the Great News Media, you know, we had those weeks before we started reading this book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan. And he was talking about the importance of having Scripture on our mind, having it saturate our thought life, having it influence us, because you just never know when you're in the midst of a decision and don't you know God brings a verse to mind, or you're praying over something and it's clarified through a verse that you might not have even thought of.
Yeah.
And so it's always great to have God's Word on our heart and mind. And our special guest today is somebody that loves teaching God's Word, somebody that has read this book in the past.
Yeah,
and
that's pretty great.
Enjoyed it. Someone that not only pastors on Sunday, but sometimes maybe on Saturday or Friday night might be seen in a race car. He's been a part of the Faster Pastor.
Oh, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, this is Pastor Adam Lewis. He serves at the First Church of the Nazarene in Decatur, Illinois. And I learned of him through a mutual friend, Bernie Lutchman. And Bernie just was saying, oh, Mark, you got to have Adam on sometime. Wait till you hear about how he drives the D1 NAS. It's the a race car that was donated to the church, and we'll get into a little of that story.
That's
and
an
such.
Unusual thing to say, actually. The race car that was donated to the church.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's stories behind that. But he's been happily married to Cindy for about 17 years. They're proud parents of two twin boys that I believe are 13 and a beautiful daughter that's 11. As mentioned, he served at the First Church of the Nazarene in Decatur these past 5 years, and we'll get a little more of how God led him to Decatur and to serve in that way. And he shared off air, he was just telling me, Mark, it's kind of unique when you're involved with some of these race car drivers and that whole experience, how receptive some of these individuals will be to hearing the good news message of Jesus. So we'll talk a little about that.
My blood pressure started going up when he started talking about strapping you in. I'm like, okay, that's good. That's good.
Okay. Not for me, but that's good for others. But today we're going to be looking at Colossians 3:15, and it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." And I'm going to read Colossians 3:16, because I know this is one of Pastor Adam's favorite verses, but he's like a lot of pastors, and he did say this to me. He said, "Mark, you pick out a verse. I love all of God's scripture, and I would read it and study it and pray over it and love to divide it." And so we were just looking at our schedules, and it just so happened that this was the week that we could work it all out. But Colossians 3:16, and we'll look at that more fully next week, is, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." So we'll be talking about Colossians 3:15, maybe a little of 3:16, and hear some of Pastor Adam Lewis's story. But Marianne, how about you first read from 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart? And before you start with that, just one quick shout out, as I remembered.
Oh.
Our Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe cast met last Thursday as our first read-through. And was that fun to have all the various characters and people playing their roles and reading it through.
Okay, did you say your lines?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
My lines.
Oh, sorry.
Lines.
Oh,
let's clarify.
Goodness.
There
I just
are
feel so
lines.
Worried. Oh, I'm embarrassed. Lines.
Yes. Very prominent role.
Both of them.
Yeah, so we'll be excited in the coming months. But there's a lot of work to do to pull it all together, but that was pretty exciting. So we'll be talking more about The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and how that'll be a part of a broadcast in the future days.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it being Memorization Monday, which means we're looking at another verse, and again, it's Colossians 3, that's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible.
You
there's
must
a lot
be
of
a
great
preacher.
Verses.
They like them all, too.
Yeah, that's right. 3:23, I think it's 3:17. There's a lot of good verses in Colossians, but 3:15 is, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful."
All right. Well, welcome, Pastor Adam.
Thank you.
You're in good company. Pastor Romanowski, when we had him, he did that same thing. He's like, "Well, I really like the next one, too, and the next one, too."
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Colossians 3:15. I learned this verse in the New International Version, which says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." The word rule or control is the translation of a Greek term found only here in the New Testament. It literally means to sit as umpire or to arbitrate. As we grow in Christ, the inner peace of Christ will act as an umpire when envy, anger, and anxiety come calling. Peace can be defined as God-given tranquility. It's the ability to be patient instead of panicky, to be mature instead of impulsive, to keep our cool when others are losing theirs.
Hey, everyone, remember, tomorrow's Election Day.
Oh, my word.
No,
you just scared me right there. Okay.
Well, you know, it's these principles right here.
I got to get back to the Bible here real quick.
Not panicking, being mature, not impulsive. So, you know, this is an appropriate verse for today.
To keep our cool when others are losing theirs. Okay. Wow, that's a word. It's a quality that few of us come by naturally, but it came perfectly to Jesus. In Luke 4, Jesus was asked to preach in his hometown of Nazareth. After reading his text in Isaiah 61, he closed the book and announced that he himself was the one of whom Isaiah was speaking. Isaiah's majestic words, written 700 years before, amounted to a specific prediction about the hometown boy who stood before them now. The Nazarenes, Jesus implied, were seeing the fulfillment of messianic prophecy before their very eyes.
Can you imagine being in the audience of that church?
Oh,
and
yeah.
He looks at everyone, sets it down, and it's very quiet. You know, you could hear a pin drop, and he said, today it's been fulfilled, and you're here. And it's like,
wow,
who is this man? How dare he say this?
Yeah.
And we'll maybe talk a little more about that.
Sure.
It triggered a riot. Thinking Jesus was speaking blasphemously, the worshipers exploded in fury and indignation. The crowd was on its feet, and angry hands grabbed Jesus and shoved him out of the synagogue, pushing him, pulling him toward a nearby cliff. They intended to kill him on the spot. But as Luke laconically puts it, he passed right through and went on his way. Luke 4:30. We don't know if this was a miracle or not, but we have the distinct impression that Jesus was unruffled, steady, composed, and self-possessed. I've often visualized Jesus passing calmly through these walls of liquid indignation, like the Israelites through the Red Sea. There was about him an authoritative calmness. That's the peace he possesses. That's the composure he imparts. The last phrase of the verse says, be thankful. As the Bible Knowledge Commentary puts it, an attitude of gratitude contributes to an enjoyment of spiritual tranquility, whereas grumbling makes for inner agitation. Colossians 5:15-17 is the climax to Paul's teaching about unity in the church. He begins the chapter by telling us to set our minds on things above, verse 2, to put to death disruptive attitudes like anger, malice, slander, and filthy language, verses 5 through 8. He warns against lying and racial prejudice, verses 9 through 11. Instead, we're to put on compassion, kindness, humility, and love, which is the perfect bond of unity, verses 12 through 14. We're to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And then there's a quote to end this chapter by Frederick Robertson, who was an Anglican pastor back in the 1800s. The real strength and majesty of the soul of man is calmness, the manifestation of strength, the peace of God ruling.
Say that again, because I think so many of us are in turmoil over job situations, the COVID-19, the election, the uncertainty, along with all the other things that are bombarding us through media or through just the craziness of life that we're living in now, that importance of the calmness.
He says, the real strength and majesty of the soul of man is calmness, the manifestation of strength, the peace of God ruling. I love that, the peace of God ruling. That's great.
Well, Pastor Adam, we've asked you to come in today to share a little about Colossians 3:15 or 3:15 and 16. So as a pastor, maybe lay a little of the groundwork of this verse or maybe some of the context.
Sure, yeah.
Freely introduce us to some of the thoughts that you have on
this. We can do all of that. And thank you, Mark and Marianne, for having me on the program today. I'm really excited to talk about the race car later on. If you wanted to do that, I'll tell you what, that thing has given the church more press than anything else, which I'm grateful for. But I grew up in West Central Ohio in a little town called Gomer. And yes, that is the name of the town I grew up in.
Yeah.
About 121 people, but we consolidated with another school, and the high school that I went to was actually a little bit bigger. But outside of my house that I grew up in Gomer, Ohio, there was this gigantic oak tree, and it was between the sidewalk and the road. It was huge. In fact, one winter, there was a car that went out of control and hit it, and it did not move at all. And so I went away to college for about a year and a half, and I came back, and my mom had told me we had to cut the tree down. And when the tree was cut down, she had taken pictures of what was going on the inside and the reason why it had to be cut down. Because there were these termites, just I don't know the official, you know, insect name of what was inside of that tree, but they started eating the tree away from the inside, the very core of it, and it started to work its way out. And so there was just this thin layer holding the tree up, and it started to lean, and they had to cut it down. So we were all surprised. We thought that this tree was like
indestructible.
But when it got to the inside, when we got to see the inside of it, we realized that it had been completely withering away. And that's what Paul is facing here with the church in Colossae. And so he did his ministry. And he actually, to look at the base of this verse, the context of it, you have to rewind the tapes a little bit to Acts 19 and 20, where he did his ministry in Ephesus. Now you're going to say, well, Ephesus, wait a minute, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the city of Colossae and the book of Colossians. Colossae was about 30 miles east of Ephesus. So it was not too far for him to load up whatever and walk there over the course of a couple days. Couldn't take an Uber then. They didn't have it. Yeah.
Champagne to Decatur.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it would have been. But he would have walked there, and he would have the ability to do ministry there in Colossae. But he didn't walk there. He empowered this guy named Epaphras to go to Colossae and start this church. But he gets a report back from Epaphras, and this is all in the book of Acts. He's like, well, wait a minute, what's going on there? Well, we went there, there was a lot of people who accepted the word of Christ, and now there are people who are trying to pull them away from it. And we originally thought that they were solid in their faith, but now we're starting to realize that deep within they're starting to struggle a little bit.
Therefore, the tree in your yard and the illustration given.
Yep.
Wow, that's interesting. I didn't realize that. So that's
we thought
background.
They were strong. Mm-hmm. Same with Galatia. We thought they were strong. But then we hear back that what's going on within them is not exactly what should be. So that's where this letter tries to attack.
Okay, so was it that wrong thinking and teaching infiltrated the Colossian church, or was it...
They would have already had teaching that existed there. What Paul's ministry was, the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of the gospel, it would have gone to Colossae. It would have been a brand new message. Mm. And people would have been like, yes, absolutely, sign me up. I like it. I like what I hear. Yeah. I accept that. They leave. And now these other teachers come back and say, did you really believe that?
No.
Do you really believe that?
Mm-mm.
And that happens even today when somebody goes down to the altar and accepts Christ into their life, and then they go right back out into their life. People are going to go, you went to that church and did what? What? Okay, really? Seriously? Do you really believe it? So they're starting to be pulled away, and that's the climate there in Colossae. So if you look at verse 15, chapter 3, verse 15, and verse 16. We got to take both of them. Sorry. I'm going to take 2 weeks here.
Yeah.
Apologies to the next pastor coming in.
Yeah.
There's one word that can describe those two verses, and that is the word within.
Interesting.
Within.
Interesting.
Where does he say they should have peace in verse 15?
Yeah, in your heart.
In your heart. Jesus gave the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. All four of those things are inward things. I can't see your soul. I can't see your heart. I can't see your mind. If you're chiseled like Mark is, you know, if you work out every day like Mark is.
Well, that brought me awake.
Told you what his eyesight is like, too.
I can't see your strength either just by looking at you. Now, you can demonstrate your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. But all of those things are inward things.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul wants to appeal to what is going on within them. And he's saying there's chaos around you. And man, this really speaks. I know tomorrow is election day, and what we're really lacking in our country right now is the peace within.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that right now. Ugh, and it bothers me. It bothers everybody, I think. And for them, what he's saying is, go back to the place where you first received Christ. Because we don't say, hey, receive Christ in your mind. Because you can change your mind.
That's true.
I stand in line at Taco Bell and I change my mind 4 or 5 times. And I'm probably going to lose some of your listeners here. So please don't tune off as I say this. But some of us out here are Cubs fans. And you don't make a decision to cheer for the Cubs in your mind because you'll change your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
You make a decision to cheer for the Cubs in your heart because heart decisions are harder to change.
That's true. You know, it's interesting because when he says the peace of the Messiah or of Christ, let it control your hearts. And then he says the meaning of that particular word in Greek is to sit as an umpire or to arbitrate. And you think about that.
And the umpire, how
in
he tied
heart,
it in
though,
with the Cubs
well,
and
yes,
baseball.
There's that.
Oh.
But I was going to say that I think instead of like we use the word control, it's like to arbitrate inside your heart, to sit as an umpire, to be over it.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it does relate to the Cubs, doesn't it?
Well, and if somebody is going to be an arbitrator, they are either put in that position by God or put in that position by the community because of the way they can maintain self-control and have a sense of ruling over what is brought to them. If we have a judge who doesn't have any self-control, I mean, loses his or her mind, then we really don't want that person to be an arbitrator. So an arbitrator in this case, and what Morgan is talking about in that book, and what Paul is saying, is that you've got to look inside your heart and understand where peace really truly dwells.
You know, something that's interesting is recent science has determined, this is startling to me, that the heart inside of our body puts out a stronger electromagnetic field than our brain does. And yet we think of our brain as the great center of energy, which is very important. I mean, it's, you know, not downplaying it at all. But our heart puts out more of an electromagnetic field, energy, than our brain even. And so he's saying in your heart, in your inner self, you know, to have this peace and let it arbitrate and control. That's pretty powerful.
And I think the closing few words here in Colossians 3:15, basically, as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Two things that I mean, he's kind of saying you're supposed to be filled with peace and you're supposed to be thankful. I mean, those are like exhortations. I don't know if they're commands. You would probably know more, Pastor, the emphatic nature of what those words are, but it seems like God is saying, you know, you were called to be peacemakers and to be peaceful and to be settled and to be grounded and be thankful.
And let's sit with that second part of verse 15 for a second, because in the life of the church, and for those that are listening today, hopefully you're a part of a church family. If you're a part of a church family, there may be a time where you have gone to leadership and said, I'd like to do this because I feel called to do this specifically. And it could be anything, a ministry for dogs or a ministry for widows. I don't know, whatever. I feel called to do this. There are some people who say, I don't feel called to do anything in the church. And that's not true. Because what the Apostle Paul says here is that every person who is a part of the body of Christ has a calling. It may not be something that gets in the bulletin, but it is a calling to promote peace within the body. We are called to promote peace. I'd rather sit at coffee and gossip about the pastor. I'd rather sit and gossip about... No. Your calling is to promote peace.
That's interesting.
Because it dwells in your heart, right?
Well,
Back in the 90s, the church went through something called the worship wars, and it still exists. I want more hymns. I don't like these choruses. I don't like this. I don't like this. But what really was that? Is it the choice of music? No. What it was people speaking from the depths of their heart toward their personal preference in the church. So verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through, psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with what?
Gratitude.
Where?
In the heart.
In your heart. The worship wars were completely and totally carnal because it was what I like. I don't want this. I don't want this. Well, what you have is a lack of gratitude. And it stems from what's going on the inside. It's all within.
That's interesting.
Wow, so much more that could be said, but we're out of time.
Yeah, there is.
Appreciate Pastor Adam Lewis from the First Church of the Nazarene in Decatur, Illinois. And we're going to have you back in the future. Appreciate it. Maybe if you're available for Testimony Tuesday, we can hear about the race car and the unique calling God has on your heart. So
buckle up.
Buckle up and tune in again at the same time tomorrow. So our verse for today was Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Pastor Adam Lewis with Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.